wants my little voice. Nobody wants my little voice. Nobody wants my little voice.
Shut up.
Voice. No.
Oh. We're trying to do a podcast here. Hello, and welcome to the Indie Film Review with me, Dan. And, of course, the little voice in the corner is Jared.
It's me. I wasn't wrong.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? It's movie time.
I'm doing Dan. Great. And how are you?
I was not talking to you, but also Dan.
Yes.
It's movie time.
Movie time. Isn't really movie time?
No, it's movie talkie time.
Oh my god, it's talkie.
It's movie talkie time.
Movie talkie, talkie movie time. We're going to talk about the movies that we watch. And we watch two That's movies right. a day, a short film and a...
Long film.
Long film. I'm not going to call it a feature-length film. I'm going to call it a long film. Because it was long. And
we've coined that phrase.
I feel like... I feel like I'm allowed to say that this one was long.
This one's extra long for her pleasure.
Oh, ribbed even.
No one would disagree. Okay, so the first film we watched was The Spirit Board.
The Spirit Board, directed by Andrea Ricci. Ricci?
Ooh.
Andrea yes. Ricci. Andrea Ricci.
And the second film we watch is Fatal Pulse.
Fatal Pulse, directed by Damon Packard.
That's right. Also of major entertainer fame, which we will get into.
Yeah, I'm interested in listening Dan. To this major entertainer thing because...
That's right. That's right. Because he is...
Majorly entertaining.
He's majorly entertaining. Okay. See, that's the joke. He's a major
God,
entertainer.
I can't talk today. So here we go.
He entertains majorly.
Jared, how many films would you argue have been made around the concept of...
The Ouija?
The Ouija.
A whole bunch number. More than fingers and toes I have.
At least in the 80s, too. Like, there were so yes. many in the 80s. There's some yes, in the yes, 2010s. Yes, yes. It's crazy. And even The Exorcist had a Ouija mm-hmm. board in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but how many of them had the monster pick up a gun and shoot at the main protagonist?
I wanted to bring up the fact that there's so many of these films because it's not a crowning achievement. What's the opposite of a crowning achievement?
Basic life choice.
Okay, maybe even further than that. It's one of my deepest regrets, we'll say that. Mm-hmm. It's one of my deepest regrets because
yes.
I used to make short films and I had a perfect idea whenever we were making short films together, you and I, for yep. a film that involved a Ouija board. And I never made it, but I'm not even lying to you. A lot of what I saw in Spirit Board looked a lot like I wanted it to look in my film.
In yours? That's so good. Well, here's what I like about Ricci is, and I'm sorry if we're saying your name wrong. We're doing our best. But his films are, all the monsters in them are like CGI based, which I'm assuming he probably made himself, which
probably.
Is pretty fucking cool if he did. And he gets these pretty ladies. He's got the pretty ladies. He's got the crazy CGI monster. It's like he's taken like Mega Piranha and Sharknado type of films, but he's condensed it down into like 3 to 6 minutes.
Yes.
And made these like little mini movies. And they're, from what I've seen, they're pretty fun. I'm enjoying them. Dan, tell us a little bit about Spirit Board. I mean, we're going to have to spoil this film because it's so short.
So
it's not much.
Basic
you know?
The basic concept of Spirit Board, we already did spoil it. Like, this
yeah,
woman summons a demon from the Spirit Board, and he chases her around the house for a good couple minutes.
Yeah.
And he fatally shoots her.
Yeah, there's not much story to it. It gets right to the action. If you want to see these, though, it's Andrea... Rika sci-fi and horror short movies, but I believe they're everywhere. I've seen them like other people had posted them, so I'm not sure exactly what the original posting is from, but they're all over the internet, or at least YouTube, it looks like.
Now, what I really liked about with Spirit Board was the lighting used. Like, there were a lot of hard lights and or hard shadows, excuse me, because of the...
Dan loves a hard
shadow. I love
shadow.
A hard shadow.
Loves a hard light.
Especially whenever I'm it. Not and my shadow is. It's really interesting.
Yeah, you're right, Dan. That is really interesting.
Called a Phantom Boner.
Phantom Boner. Holy shit, dude. That should be our new movie. All right, pitch me Phantom Boner. No, I'm just kidding. We should start doing pitches again, like, because we used to do that on our old podcast. But, yeah, anywho, this movie, I don't think there's any dialogue. I kind of
thought it was interesting. No, there was not. Instead, like I said, you're kind of with this protagonist in her plight of unleashing a demon on herself, and it just looks really cool.
As we said, she tries to shoot it with a gun, and then she thinks she kills it, she drops the gun, and then the fucking Zambo comes back and picks up the gun and starts shooting at her. And I'm like, now this is why I'm watching this short. Because at first I was like, okay, this is pretty by the numbers. You know, it's just, whatever. And then I was so pleasantly surprised.
And the way that monster looks, even though it's CGI, it kind of had a little bit of frames missing that made it look animatronic a bit.
Yeah. I loved it. How did you feel about that ending? Because it was like a reverse fake out. You're like, you think something's going to happen.
I'm always pleasantly surprised by films that do things that I've never seen before. So I've never seen it before. I'm like, all right, I guess that's just what I'm going to deal with.
She just gets in her car and she's fine and she drives away. I thought for sure the Zambo was going to like appear in her car or like something, you know, like some kind of Freddy Krueger. Because I just watched Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. I have like a box set of all the movies.
Oh, they're so good. I just watched those.
So we just watched. We're going to go through all of them because I haven't seen most of them. I've only seen like one and I think like Dream Warriors or something. But there's a huge fake out at the end of that was amazing. It's really good. But yeah, I kind of appreciated her just being like,
well, I'm leaving now.
Nothing's
going
to happen.
So you, Jared.
Yes.
Dropped this film on me, and you were like,
yes, I did.
I watched this man named Major Entertainer in concert, and he recommended this film. And I just thought he recommended the film. I had no idea he was part of the film that he was recommending. So tell me a little bit about that story, how we came across this film.
So I'll admit, I thought that he directed this movie, but he only stars in the film.
That's still big
and
news.
Yeah, it's cool. He also has like a weird cameo of him doing his musical shtick in the film too.
Yes.
So me and my girlfriend, we went to the theater and we went to see Neil Hamburger, and he was doing a one night only at this improv comedy spot that we like to go to. And I was like, I want to see Neil Hamburger. I remember him from like Adult Swim shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I want to see him. So we go. And his opening act is Major Entertainer. And he blew me away.
Really?
He was doing Egyptian puns throughout the entire act. And he was doing... He kind of does what, like, Reggie Watts does. Mm-hmm. Where he has, like, this synth and beats. And I don't... He has them all, like, set up, ready to go. But... And he sings these, like, very weird, off-putting songs. But they're still kind of really fun. And... My girlfriend loved it. Then when we saw Neil Hamburger, she hated him. So she's like, oh, I really like that first guy, but the second guy was meh. So, you know, he's my best friend now. We're best friends.
I see,
And I hit him up, and I told him I liked him, and he's like, hey, you should watch this film, dummy. I was like, oh, okay. And then I did, and here we are.
Oh. Jared, we're going to spin the tables a little bit today, and are going to try to give me a 30 second elevator pitch so we can know what this film's about before we
spoil it. It's so fucking easy to tell you exactly what this film is. I can't wait to tell you exactly what is going on in every single scene of this film, Fatal Pulse, 2018. Here I go.
All right.
Yuppie films come to life.
And?
New Jack City. New Jack City. New Jack City. No, okay. So, this is a parody of 90s yuppie films, which is like when people wear suits And they're all like, I'm a businessman. I'm doing business. You're like, oh, you double-crossed me with the business. We've seen, I like a lot of these types of films. What's that movie? Oh, Glengarry Ross is kind of like what I think of when I think of those types of films. And there's that one who was like called like Shark.
Oh, Swimming with Sharks.
Yeah, Swimming with Sharks. It's kind of like those types of films. And this is like a love letter to like every film that ever came out in 1991.
Yeah.
And it's, if I had to try to explain it, which I am being forced to right now, and I will try to do that. It is about a man who is in the Illuminati, who controls and runs everything and needs to tell you constantly that he does. He is living with his wife. His wife's brother is staying on the couch of their house, and he's so mad because he's like, I can tell the president to do whatever I want, but I can't get this damn guy to leave this couch and get out of my house. Which I don't understand why he couldn't. He could just give him money. But, and then there's like a alien monster, and there's like a puppet version of him, and there's... The film is insane and very funny. Also, the brother-in-law is like a serial killer, but that never gets resolved.
Yeah.
This movie is really crazy.
This movie is indeed crazy. Now, Jared, do you want to go into questions from here?
Oh God, please. Yes. Anything else?
All right.
Anything else than me trying to explain what this movie is?
No, you did well. You did about as good as I could have done because this movie is fucking crazy.
You know what I love though is when you go and look at Fatal Pulse on IMDb, or if you look at it when you're about to stream it, it really does look like a thriller film. It just looks like an old school thriller, and you're like, oh, cool! I'm really excited. I can't wait.
The main person in this film is named Trent DuPont.
Yeah,
that is who played. That is
Major Entertainer.
Yeah, man, right? That's who I'm thinking of. That's Major Entertainer. So, question, Jared, for you, acting in this film, yay or nay?
I mean, it didn't make me mad. I think because the film is so weird that the acting would have had to have been pretty awful for it to like pull me out of whatever I was watching, because everything's already disjointed anyways. Mm-hmm. I thought the acting was serviceable. It didn't really bother me at all. What about you?
The acting to me was what kept me into the film the entire time.
Okay, cool. Like, awesome. That's great.
I was engaged in what they were talking about, but I did not know half the time what they were talking about. It's like, okay, did you think this film is anything more than pastiche of non sequiturs that are locked in the early 90s?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you could derive deeper meaning from this if you looked hard enough. Okay, here's what I kind of gathered from it. It is a lament. If you think about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, how that was like Quentin Tarantino saying, hey, remember, like, he's remembering things from his childhood, basically, in that entire film.
Right.
Where he's like, this is how I remember Hollywood. This is the old Hollywood. Now Westerns and that kind of stuff is going away. Like, it's being replaced by these newer films of, like, these pretty boys that are showing up. It's same thing with Fatal Pulse, I think, where... The movies he probably grew up liking, or you know, they talk about records and all this old technology that the main character, Trent, is getting rid of. He's like, we're retiring it all. We're retiring it. And there's this whole thing of like all these like characters like Janet Jackson and like all these other celebrity cameos are coming in, and it's like he's controlling them. He's getting rid of things that people like no more single. Movie theaters, whatever. I know I said that wrong. But, you know, like, no small movie theaters anymore. Let's get rid of the indie theaters. Let's get rid of the auteurs. We don't need those anymore. We want to make money, money, money. We want to, so it's about, like, the whole corporate takeover of the 90s and how everything got corporatized and just fucking, Now we're, like, Marvel, DC, shit fest where we just...
Can I tell you something?
Take big poops all over your face. What's that?
I picked up on that 100%, and I thought that was a really cool message they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
But the film itself is so polarizing to me. Like, there's so much of this film that I really love, and there's so much of this film that I really hate.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, the last 30 minutes, I could probably throw in the bin.
It was... One of the most exhausting experiences for my emotions watching this film, because I couldn't tell if I ever was going to come to terms with it. And I never did. Like, I can't say that I like this film, but I liked a lot of it, if that makes sense.
I liked up until the perceived climax.
Yeah.
And then I kind of liked the twist at the end, even though it didn't make any sense. But then the movie's like, we're going to keep going now. And there's like 40 minutes left. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then when they just start screaming New Jack City for hours, I had enough. Well, I was ready for
like,
it to
okay,
be over.
So I had my notes for this movie. It was my last note. The last 30 minutes of this film, for anybody who wants to know, are people just screaming dialogue. That's all they're doing. They just are screaming their dialogue at the top of their fucking lungs.
It gets really insane. But some of the special effects in this movie are so fun and so good.
Yeah.
And some of the, just the weird
shit. I love the puppets.
Yeah.
The puppets were awesome.
I think there's just too many things going on.
Absolutely.
If this director, because I think he wrote, he had some writers. Looks like there's three credits together. If this team, I don't know if they all make movies together, but if they were able to condense this more together, like have someone try to focus the crazy. You know, like when I say with David Lynch or other auteurs, if you will, have them focus their insanity like a laser. So you can get a story, but also have this amazing imagery, this amazing, insane, weird dialogue and camera shots and just like all the fun stuff you're going to love, because then you'll get like a film like this where you're just like, this isn't for anyone. I can't like, it's for us, I guess.
Right.
I enjoyed it, most of it, but how do you recommend this film? You can't,
I can't tell people to watch it. I can't tell people
to
watch
it. It's
really
crazy.
So Jared, I think
this is like an art house film.
I think I have a good idea of how we should proceed through this film, and we should go through what I really liked versus what I really did not like, and you get to choose.
Oh yeah, awesome.
Which one are we gonna do first? We can
let's
volley
do
back and forth.
Good. Always good with bad. Well, yeah, you can do a contrast as long as I'm getting specific scenes that we can.
Oh yeah,
about.
For sure.
Okay, cool.
The very first thing I want to talk about, spoilers, guys. If you
definitely gonna spoil this movie. If you want to watch it, I watched it on Amazon. Amazon. Okay, yeah, it's on Amazon. Fatal Pulse. If you are a big time weirdo like us, go watch this movie. Like, get drunk, get some friends. This is like a movie you could put on in the background, and people should be like, "What the fuck is this?" And you'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be
and,
a
like,
fun
put
party
it on
game
in a
for
party.
The host, for sure.
Yeah, it's just a great party movie, I think.
So the first thing that pissed me off about this film,
would you say it grinds your gears?
Oh god,
60 minute style.
Here's. I liked everything that was that 90s aesthetic. Like, there's this meditation on 90s cinema, 90s culture, 90s television. I loved that. So I'm going to say that right now. Like, this film hit me really good with that aesthetic. Throughout the film, for no apparent reason, they throw voice modulators on random actors at random times.
Didn't we see this in another film we watched recently?
I don't remember.
I swear we did. I swear. It was Wretch. It was Wretch. In the film Wretch, they did the same type of dealy where they mess with the voices and stuff. Why do we keep watching these weird psychedelic films?
We need to go back to a regular film. There's no...
As a palate cleanser.
There's nothing. Like, I couldn't find a rhyme or reason for that aesthetic to be thrown in at random times. Because it didn't work anywhere. Like, I didn't understand
it. So, if you were to be on the influence of something, that may enhance your viewing of this movie.
Maybe.
Is what I'm thinking. Was this movie funny to you at all?
Certain times, not very. Like, very rarely did I laugh, but there were some times where I chuckled.
There was a lot of times where just the ridiculousness of what was happening, like when that guy kept getting run over again and again, the puppets.
You're reading my notes, okay? What
well,
the fuck
keep going,
is the trash demon?
I don't know.
Why the fuck is that bodyguard and whoever the fuck that girl is so okay with running that person over? Like, they, without batting an eye, they murder somebody.
The dude she was with, that was supposed to be her dad.
What?
That guy looked like David Lynch. Like, David Lynch came to pick up a prostitute who was also his daughter. Oh my God. It was very strange.
Jared, listen, I want to continue the podcast, but you are...
Sure.
Emanating a level 5 negative frequency, so I don't think I can. That made me laugh a lot.
That shit's amazing. You know what I loved? The lighting in this movie. Every scene was lit by a...
bread box?
A flashlight with a red foil over it. God. Or what was it called? What is that weird Technicolor box that spins?
Oh, I don't know.
They had like this like toy... one of those toys you get as a kid where it's like a rainbow colors that just like emanate all over the place. They just like put that in a car and like that's the lighting for the scene. So every scene was lit that way. And he's like,
now I like that
unnatural lighting.
I liked
it a lot
because it goes into this. It helps the argument for the film in that what we've been talking about before, how this film seems to be locked in this early 90s fever pitch of this guy who's making all the decisions for the entire United States culture as governed by Hollywood cinema, which is fascinating. And then to have such a shitty lighting choice, it really aids in the argument that they're going for. And one of the other things that made me laugh a lot was, it was a throwaway line, but I think it was Major Entertainer. He's like, give her coffee, cocaine, and anything left over from the 80s. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of really funny lines in this. A lot of very quotable lines
in this.
And then, like,
probably my favorite. Oh, okay, you go.
80% of the country is behind bars because of laws that I wrote. I was like, Jesus Christ. That was him bragging.
Yeah.
And then they brag about keeping that lady awake. She's like, I haven't slept in 24 hours. He's like, wake up! Wake up!
Now,
like, what's... fucking Dick Cheney is in this.
Oh, my God. There's... Okay, go ahead. So next I'm going to talk about... There's a scene in the film where they make fun of sampling by screaming sampling at each other. Screaming sampling at each other. Screaming sampling at each other.
Yeah, that was pretty
That made me laugh a lot.
Well, that's the theme of this whole movie, though.
What?
Sampling.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
Absolutely.
Sampling, they were saying, is when... because they bring up Vanilla Ice, because he sampled the Queen song, which is pretty well known, but, like, nobody gives a shit. And they fucking loved it at the time. I think there was a lawsuit on that. I don't know. But, you know, you're taking something and you're diluting it and making it into something new. And that's what this movie is.
Well, exactly.
Like, it's sampling.
It's a postmodern pastiche of just, like he says in the movie, there will be no progress from 1991.
Yeah, and there is none.
That, like, is a
we
poignant...
are trapped there.
Yeah, that is a poignant fucking line of dialogue that was very impressive. Those gems of humor and philosophy are just downtrodden and drowned by the insanity of you trying to follow this film. Like,
that's why I said, like, if you could just tighten it up, focus this thing like a laser, you need somebody with a lot of money to tell the director and the writers, like, hey, listen, I know you guys have a vision, but we need to make this watchable for human beings. Because I need to make my money back. So
now, Jared,
But that would be against the spirit of this film, because the auteur theory, which I looked up because I didn't really know what they were talking about at first. It's supposed to be the theory of, like, when a director or a writer or whatever, whenever they make a film, part of themselves goes into the film.
Yeah.
So it's like the stylings of, you know, like if you see like a John Carpenter film, it kind of has that vibe of, like, here's the certain things that you can recognize just by looking at a scene. You're like, oh, this is this person's film. You know.
Man, look at that. Jared graduated college.
That's right! No, this film is educating me, because I didn't know shit. Oh, was that in your notes?
No, it should have been in my notes.
You just knew what they were talking about?
I knew what they were talking about.
So I got a question for you.
Oh, yes.
How did you feel about the camera work in this? Because I don't know if it was intentional or not, And I'll give a theory on both, but I want to hear your answer first.
It's not something I paid attention to. It was poor. Really? It was poorly done, so I just kind of, all right, I'm not going to think about it from here on out. Like, I wouldn't say, let me rephrase it. It wasn't poorly done. It wasn't something that was making me go, wow. So
do you think it was intentional?
Probably. What is your theory?
Because
about it?
There were certain scenes where they framed everything perfectly. And right. Then other scenes, like, remember that dinner scene at the end where they're talking to that film director and they're trying to convince him to get on board with their Illuminati bullshit? And it shows one guy is framed perfectly. Then you have the main character. It's like a fucking giant candle right in front of his face. You can't see a damn thing. And it was like, that is so intentional to block his face out that you can't see him. They do shit like that all the time. And it felt very intentional.
Absolutely. But unless the intention is understood, then why bother? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know why do it so much. And there was a lot of, like, cutting off people's heads.
Yeah.
So you're only seeing half of the head. But then it made me, like, focus on other things. I don't know. I didn't hate it, is what I'm trying to say. Like, I didn't really detract that much from, I mean, for normies, probably, yeah. Yes.
Jared. But
usually I would hate something like that. Go ahead.
We're running low on time.
It's, yeah, so, I'm sorry. It's probably all me.
No, it's me too, because there's just so much to talk about. Oh, but yeah. I want to talk about my favorite scene in the film before we...
Absolutely.
And can you guess, Jared, what my favorite scene of the movie might be?
Is it when a puppet of the main character is watching himself be burned alive and begs
I got
for help?
Really excited in this film because something happened. And that is...
Was Boner excited?
No. Well, I mean, Boner for nostalgia, I guess.
Oh.
They have a fake Julia Roberts that takes the place of the other person. His name is Tobo.
The
brother-in-law that's on the couch.
The brother-in-law,
so
yeah.
He goes away and Julia Roberts comes in and crashes on the couch. So that's one guest cameo that's not played by Julia Roberts, but a Julia Roberts lookalike. But the second guest cameo is where I lost my shit. Sade.
Holy shit, the Sade scene.
Smooth Operator.
Is so fucking good. This Sade scene is so fucking good.
And then after her scene, she sings everything. The banter about her fainting, like two characters are like yelling at each other because Sade faints at the end of the song.
Yeah.
And that's
like, no, that's totally normal. Totally normal.
That made me laugh so much.
Yeah. There's so many good things in this movie. There's a lot of good in this movie. It's just sometimes you gotta like wade through it a little bit.
But I got excited because we on our old podcast we did a bit with smooth operator.
Oh, the boom operator joke. Whenever we would see a boom mic in the shot, we would sing boom operator because we're children.
Yes, God, that scene was so good. It's this film is trying to make a point that it's cemented in the 1990s, the early 1990s, and one of the very last images you see, this is the film trying to make a point of itself, is a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
This film is, and they may want it to be that way.
I don't know, yeah. You know what I like too is when they were watching a yuppie 90s film, and they are literally quoting lines of dialogue from that film as if it was really happening to them.
Yeah.
And just, there's so many good ideas. You know, this movie took 4 years to make, apparently.
That's impressive.
There's also another film that this guy, Damon Packard, made, the director. It's Reflections of Evil. It came out in 2002. Apparently, that's his tour de force.
Really?
And I kind of want to see it.
I kind of want to see
Julie,
it, too.
Julie, who died of a PCP overdose as a teen in the early 70s, searches from beyond the ethers for her little brother, Bob, an obese watch seller who is dying of sucrose intolerance in the early 90s.
Dude, this guy is obsessed with the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that one stars Damon Packard.
Oh, it does? Cool, cool, cool.
Oh, we have to watch this somehow.
Is Mike
It's on Prime Video.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Oh, we're watching this.
So anyways, thank you, Mike Hickey, for recommending this, whatever this was. We saw it. I really appreciate it. Let me be at your next bar mitzvah. Okay, Dan?
Yes.
I guess this is final thoughts, right? I mean,
yeah, that was
final
thoughts.
You can't recommend it.
I can't recommend it, but I appreciated what I got out of it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot I got out of it, but I had to sift through a lot of uncomfortable things, which might have been the point.
Yeah, I mean, this movie makes a point of saying, we want you to feel something.
Yes.
It's more about how you feel than what you are actually trying to get as a story. It is a, what's the word, provocateur? It's a, you're being poked and prodded with emotion. Oh, yes, cinema. Oh, beautiful cinema. So, in that respect, congratulations. You 100% were fucking evoking the shit out of every emotion I could possibly think of. But make your movie shorter. Anyways, seriously, just make it 30 minutes shorter. It would have been really, okay.
You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Facebook, Indie Film Review. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Nice. We are hosted by Necropodicon, the Necropodicon Network. If you go to necropodicon.com, you can click on the link and join the Discord and come talk to us. I would go on and on about it, but we're already super long into the episode, so I'm ending right now. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you. I value your listening ear patronage. Dan, you have the final word.
We didn't even talk about the crazy balloon fight with the weird robot bum.
The chase scenes. We didn't say a word about the chase scenes. Oh, too much movie.
Too much movie.
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then, oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Isin is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Isin because it's good and you deserve good things. Fate of Isin, a proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.